Okay.
We'll be left with their questions.
Okay, so last time we saw Elihu's first speech, we got a sense of what his goals were. Today we're going to learn the other speeches of Elihu. Perek Lamed Dalet is the first, Perek Lamed He is the second, and Perek Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin, Perekim Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin are the third. Now, the first thing you notice is that there's a difference between Lamed Dalet and Lamed He versus Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, because Lamed Vav begins Vayosef Elihu Vayomar, meaning it's an additional speech. We'll have to understand what its role is as additional. Let's begin with Lamed Dalet, Lamed He. Now, the first thing you notice is that they are very similar in structure. They are very similar in structure. Both of them have Eov's Tana quoted, and then, of course, Elihu's response, and we'll see there's even a similarity in his response and in the content of his answer. The difference between them is, this will help explain the relationship and the difference, in Lamed Dalet, Elihu is speaking to the group of friends. In Lamed He, he's speaking to Eov. You see it right away from the plural versus the singular. So he's speaking to a different audience, and therefore there are differences, but there's also a similarity, a similar theme. So let's look at the Perek Lamed Dalet first. You know what, we'll look at the two together. It begins with quoting Eov's claims. After the introduction, the Yanni Levi'im Shimu Chachamim Milai. Wise people, plural, hear my words. The Yodim, and those who know, Ki'ilu, Hazinuli, describes them as Yodim. Those who know should listen to me, who are acting like they're knowing. Ki oze milim tifchan v'chei kitam le'echol, mishpat nivchora lanu neida v'einenu matov. We'll figure out amongst ourselves what's right. Ki amar Yov, he's not talking to Yov now, right? Ki amar Yov, tzadakti ve'el heisir mishpati. Yov said, I'm right. God has subverted my justice. Al mishpati achazei vanush chatzi b'lifasha. Right, I am being shot without crimes. Mi gever ki Eov yishtel lag kamayim. He says, who is a person suffering like Eov, who drinks suffering like water? V'arach lechevra im poalei avin v'lalechet amanchei rasha. And he has to be with the wicked people, even though he's not. Ki amar lo yiskon gaver b'rtzatoi malukim. That a person shouldn't have to suffer when he's in the right with God. That this is Eov's claim. Ki amar. It started off in Pasuk Hey. Ki amar Eov tzadakti ve'el yisir mishpati. Concludes in Pasuk Tet. Ki amar lo yiskon gaver b'rtzatoi malukim. Starts off, he's quoting Eov's claim. You look in Perek Lamed Hey, you have the same thing. Quoting Eov and quoting Eov in the same thing. He's quoting it back to himself now. Perek Lamed Hey, v'yan Eliyo v'yomar. Yomar hazot chashavta lemishpat, amarta tzidkim el. This is what you think the mishpat is. You're saying that you are more righteous than God. Ki tomar. There's a similar ki tomar. Ma yiskon lach ma uil michatati. You say, well, how do I endanger you? Why is it bad for you, God? What difference does it make that I sin? He's quoting Yov, and he's quoting the same things from Yov. And Elihu's response in both prakim is the same. If we take a look at the end of Perek Lamed Dalet. Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey, he says, Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Eov lo vedat yidaber, udvarav lo bahaskel. Eov doesn't speak with wisdom and knowledge. Let's look at the end of Perek Lamed Hey. Now, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Af ki tomar lo tishrenu din lefanav tuchelo, ve'ata ki ayin pakar apov lo yedam vashva, ve'eov hevel yifte piu bevlidat milin yachbir. Eov speaks without knowledge. The difference between Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey is the content in between. Starts off quoting Eov, claims, he ends off saying Eov speaks without knowledge. What's in between is the explanation as to why. Let's first look at Perek Lamed Dalet, and then we'll look at Perek Lamed Hey. We're continuing in Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Yud. We already saw, he said in the beginning of Perek Lamed Dalet, those who think they know should listen to me. Pasuk Bet. Shimu chachamim milai v'yodim ha'azinu li. Pasuk Yud now continues that theme. L'chein anshei levav, you people of heart, you people who think you know. Shimu li, listen to me. Chalila le'el me'resh v'shadai me'avel. Already here in this Pasuk you hear what his point's going to be. Chalila that Hashem should do Resha, that God should do Avil. So right off the bat, it sounds a lot like the Reim, particularly Bildad. who said God judges fairly. It comes from God, but God judges fairly. The big difference between Bildad, between Eliyahu and Bildad, is he's not just assuming God judges fairly and therefore you're evil. He's going to explain how we know why it's pashut that God judges fairly. Let's continue. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kifoal Adam Yishalem Lo Ucha Orach Ish Yamtzienu Af Amnam El Lo Yarshia V'Shadai Lo Yaveit Mishpat. Mi Fakar Alav Arza Mi Sam Tevel Kula Im Yasim Elav Libo Rucho V'Nishmato Elav Yasof. What's the point he's making here in these two psukim we just read? Who's in charge of God? Mi fakar alav arza. Who created the world? Who's in charge here? If there was someone else in charge, then pasuk yidalad im yasim elav libo ruchov nishmato elav yasof. God would have to pay attention to him. He would have to take him into account and what he wanted. But wait, there is no one like that. That's just God. There's no one in charge of God. There's no one who God needs to look to or respect. So he's not pressured the way human beings are to do things they know are not right. God has no one to answer to, and therefore not having that reason to do something wrong. We'll get back to this pasuk in a minute, pasuk tetvav. V'im bina shimazot. Again, like we saw in pasuk yud, another start. V'im bina shimazot. Hazina l'kol milah. Listen to my words. I'm trying to show you another unit that's beginning in tetzayin, like yud. We had yud through tetvav. Now we're having tetzayin through chaf. Begins the same way. We're going to see the different components are the same. Ha'af sonei mishpat, yachbosh, v'im tzadik kabir tarshia. Would someone who hates justice heal? Would such a righteous being indict? Ha'omer l'melech b'yal rashel n'divim, asher lo nasa p'nei sarim v'lo nikar shor lefnei dal, ki masei yadav kula, regi yamutu v'chatzot laila yigo ashuam, v'yavor v'yasiru abir lo v'yad. What's he saying here? Particularly Pasuk Yutet. God doesn't show favor to anyone. There are two reasons why people do the wrong things even though they know they're wrong. One, they're under pressure. They're commanded. Two, they fall for people. They care about people. They want to make someone happy. God is not controlled by anyone and has no one to make happy. And has no bias to anyone. So why would he not do Mishpat Tzedek? This is very different than what we saw by the Reim, right? The Reim was just saying, God is good, you must be evil, repent. This is, let's think it through and see if it makes sense that God would hurt people. Now he's going to make one more point in Chaf Aleph and on. I'll tell you before we start reading it. He also has the ability to do Mishpat Tzedek. There are three reasons, again, why human beings can't bring Mishpat. I guess two. They don't want to, and they're unable to. They don't want to would be the first parts. They don't want to because they're under pressure. They don't want to because they're biased. Second thing is they're unable to. God is unable to. Pasuk Chavalef. Ki ina val darchei yesh v'chol tzadav yireh. He sees everything. Ein choshech v'ein tzal mavet li'isat v'shem po'olayav. There's nowhere to hide. Ki lo al ish yesim od la'alo chelel b'mishpat. Yaro akabirim lochek v'yam orachirim tachtam. L'chein yakir ma'abadehem v'afach la'al v'yidaku. Tachet v'shem tzvakam v'mkom ro'im. Asher v'kein tzaro me'acharav v'chol d'orachav lo eskidum. La'vi alav. Right? He's able to see everyone and everything, and he sees through people who's honest, who's not honest, who's a flatterer, who's this, who's that. Therefore, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, therefore, Ki al el he'amar nasati lo achbol, biladei achazeh atahoreini yemavel pa'alti lo osif. He says, therefore, you should turn to God. You should ask for mercy and say, show me what I may have sinned. Show me why you've shown disgust with me. You should be going in a different way with humility. Because again, God has no reason to be unjust. And number two, he has the ability to be just. And Pasuk Lamed Aleph, just to finish this point, comes back to that same theme we've been seeing. An she lev of yomruli, the gever chacham shomeali. Listen to me. Hear. Understand. So again, the difference is, he's not just stepping up and saying God is just. He's explaining. how he uses Mishpat to bring Tzedek as opposed to what Eov is assuming. Yes?
Wasn't Eov's argument that God is almost like vindictive?
Why would he be vindictive?
Well, that's what Eov's claim was, that he's just attacking me.
Why would he be?
Because he hates you in kind, because he wants to cause people suffering.
Eliyahu is saying. That doesn't make sense.
But like his analogy was like to people do that stuff because they're either pressured or.
Well, again, you have to remember, Eliyahu had a major change of his own the last year. It's not all about punishment; it's also a way of communicating.
Yeah.
So now we want to get to the basic principle and ask yourself: does it make sense that God would be communicator or someone who is striking unfairly? No. And now he is striking out against the notion of God striking out unfairly, right?
Yeah, I think Eliyahu is leaving one thing out from people. There are people who don't do justice because it's in their self-interest.
I understand that you're asking the same question again, right? He's saying that it does not make sense to say that God is that way, especially if you can say that he's communicating.
Oh, okay. Once you put the...
He starts up in there. Perek Lamed Hey.
Yeah. This is directed at the friend.
You tell me.
I mean, we were saying it's directed at the friends of Eov. Mm-hmm.
It's directed to the friends about Eov's claims, right?
Right, but then why would he be telling the friends that they should ask God to show them?
One should. He's talking about one should at this point. Okay, so...
How does this relate to... You're saying it relates to what the friends are saying because the friends were just stating facts and Eliyahu was saying you shouldn't be explaining...
Giving reason to believe that it's this way. Okay, so now we're going to see Perek Lamed Hey. We already saw the introduction here. Hazot chashavta lemishpat, amarta tzidki me'el, ki tomar ma yiskon lach, ma yiskon lach. You said, why do my sins bother you? And here comes the answer. Pasuk, hey. Habet shemayim ureyu shur shchakim gavuim mecha. Look up to the sky and see things beyond you. Im chatata ma tefolbo, virabuv shoecha ma ta'aselo, in tzadakta ma titenlo, o mi ma miyadcha yikach, la'ish kamocha rishecha, ulevan adam tzidkatecha. Your actions are about yourself. Or in other words, the assumption that what you're doing is bothering God in a way that he would need to strike out at you is insane. That's point number one. Point number two, Pasuk Tet, Mirov Ashukim Yaziku, Yishavu Mizro Rabim, Velo Amara Ye Eloa Osai Notains Mirot Balaila. Mi Bamot Arat Mi Ofishamai Mihakmenu, Sham Yitzaku Velo Yanem Ipne Gaon Raim, is how you can read the word. What's he talking about here? He's talking about cries. Mirov Ashukim Yaziku, Yishavu Mizro Rabim. People are constantly crying out. But velo amar aye eloa osoi notains mirot balaila. But they don't say, where is the God who made me, who gives me the music at night, or gives me the whatever we have in this world? Malfeinu mi ba'amot aretz mi ofei shamayim michakmenu sham yitzaku velo yanem epnei gaon rabim. We are wiser than animals and birds. People like that cry out and aren't answered because of Gaon Ra'im. What does Gaon mean?
Pride.
What?
Pride.
Pride, right? Pride. The problem human beings have as opposed to animals is that they're smarter. We take ourselves too seriously. We don't understand that God is really the one behind the scenes functioning. And so we don't realize that we should be turning to him instead of complaining to him. Meaning we take ourselves seriously. We're frustrated when he gets involved, and then we get upset. Instead of realizing that our actions are less significant than we think, and we should be turning to God for his assistance from a position of humility that creatures naturally have but that human beings forget. Animals, etc., aren't smart enough to think out of the box and to go beyond the natural understanding they have that there's something above. So animals cry out. They don't cry out with pride. They cry out with a recognition of dependency. human beings get full of themselves, right? And then don't turn to God with humility, recognizing his place, their place relative to him, right? And because they don't turn to God, God doesn't assist them, they end up suffering, and then they complain about it. So again, Pasuk Yud-Bet is a very important Pasuk. Shami tzaku v'lo ya'anem b'pnei ga'on ra'im. Dan's actions are not as significant as he thinks they are. The theme running through the two prekim is that we don't know as much as we think we know. We need to learn more and understand more about the world around us. And I think the reason there's a difference between Lamed Aleph and Lamed Hey is talking about God being just is a theme that's shayach to everyone. Talking about recognizing the limitation on our understanding is something particularly important for Yov. Because Yov is going to need to recognize and accept, you know, those limitations on his understanding in order for him to begin understanding. The Re'im aren't the ones who need to understand. There are things they don't understand, but they're not the ones who are going to need to have things clarified for them. It's an interesting possible double entendre about the last word in Pasuk Yud Bet. Anyone want to suggest what the other way of reading the last word in Pasuk Yud Bet is?
Re'im,
right? Meaning Elihu may be implying to Eov that there are others who don't understand because of their pride. Like the Re'im who you find to be so full of themselves that they don't understand. So what Elihu is saying is just like they don't understand because they're so full of themselves, you need to see that there are things you may not understand either. Okay, after questions, we're going to turn to his last speech, the Vayosef, Perek Lamed Vav, very long speech, two prakim. Yes?
I don't know if that whole thing was one point, because it sounded like two points. I didn't understand the first one. The thing you said on Pasuk Hey, that your actions are about yourself and you're crazy to
our actions are not as significant as we like to view them as. That was Hey through Chet, right? When we sin, we don't have an impact on him. You know, Rabu Psha'a Matasello, In Sadakta Matitainlo, Omami Adchayikach, Liyish Kamocha Rishacha, Olaven Adam Sidkatecha. Very clear, right? Trying to put man in his place. Okay, Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin. So the first thing we mentioned already that's unique about Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin, verse we came before, is the introduction of Vayosef. So we have to understand what's special about the speech, how it's added. Okay, so let's begin. It begins with an introduction. Vayosef Eliu Vayomer Katuli Zeir Vachavecha Kiod Lelo Hamilim. Right, be careful, listen to me, because God has more words. Right, he's talking about his words, the importance of hearing his words. Pesukei is the first words he has to say. Hein el kabir velo yamas. Kabir koach lev. Hein el. Right, God is powerful. Hein el kabir velo yamas. That's how Pasuk begins. What? Hein, indeed.
Indeed.
The second unit begins in Pasuk Chaf Bet the same way. Hein el. Hein el yazgiv bikocho. And the koach is a running theme, right? First one is Hein el kabir velo yamas, kabir koach lev. And the second one, Pasuk Chaf Bet again. Hein el yazgiv bikocho. Mi chamohu more. Pasuk Chaf Vav is the third unit. Hein El, third Hein El, right? Hein El Sagi Veloneda. And the Sagi is what transitions here. If you look at Pasuk Chaf Bet, it's Hein El Yazgiv Bekocho. The Koach goes back to the first one, the Yazgiv and the Sagi. So he has these three pieces. And obviously we're going to try and understand the relationship between these three pieces. So let's begin with part one, Pasuk Hey through Pasuk Chaf Aleph. This first piece has two parts. There's a general discussion, and then a particular application to Eov, and we're going to think about this because some of the parts don't have an application to Eov. You may have noticed that we talked about three parts, The second part is very short, right? The first part is 17 psukim, right? The second part is 4 psukim. And the third part is more than a perek. So we're going to see what's missing in the second part. I'm already giving a hint. It's the application to Eov, but let's begin. Pasuk Hey. What's his point in Pasuk Hey? Hein el kabir v'lo yamas kabir koach lev. Lo yechayer rasha u'mishpat ani yim yitain. Lo yegram yitzadik einavit melechim lekisei v'yoshivim lenetzik v'yibau. What's he saying about God here in these psukim?
He's just.
God is just, right? God does tzedek. Transition here is the last word of Yeshuvun. Yeshuvun we see in Pasuk Zayin. Lo yigram tzedek melenavet melachim lekisei vayoshivim lenetzach yigbao. Vayoshivim lenetzach yigbao. Okay, we'll see it in a second. V'im asurim bazikim yilachdun b'chav leoni. What issue was he raising in Pasuk Chet? V'im asurim bazikim yilachdu b'chav leoni. If people are handcuffed, if people are caught in the sufferings of poverty, meaning if there are people who are suffering, there are yisurim. V'yageid lehem po'olam u'fishehim ki yitgabarum. V'yigel oznam lamusar v'yomer ki yishuvun me'oven. Why are they suffering? No. What does it say here? Carefully, we already saw this in Elihu.
Musa.
He's trying to teach them something, right? He's trying to tell them what they're doing wrong. Vayaged lehem pa'alam ufish lehem. Vayigel oznam lamusar. Right? He's trying to open their ears to the teachings. Vayomer ki yishuvun me'aven, to bring them back from iniquity. Pasuk Aleph, very important. Im yishmu v'yavodu, if people listen and they work on themselves, they'll end their days with goodness and sweetness. V'im lo yishmu, but if they don't take heed, b'shelach yavodu, they'll go through hell v'yigvu b'lilat and pass away without understanding. Again, this is Elihu, right? Nothing surprising here. Now is where he starts making the transition to Eov. It really applies to him, Pasuk Zayin, but he starts in Pasuk Gimel. Let's take a look. V'chanfei lev yasimu af lo yishavu ki yasaram. Who's chanfei lev?
The friend.
The flatterers, the panderers, right? Yeah, they won't cry out, justify things. Tamot bano nafsham v'chayotam v'kdeshim. They lose their lives. Yichaleitz ani v'yon yo v'yigel b'lachat oznam. V'yav ha-sitcha mi-bitzar achav. V'mitak v'nachat shulchancha malei dashen. Right? They promise you all these things. Instead of revealing your ear to what the truth is, right? They'll come and tell you, oh, everything's okay, don't take it seriously. How does this apply to Eov, Pasuk Tetzayin? V'af asitcha mipitzar rachav lo mutzak tachtav v'nachat shulchancha malei dashen v'din rasha maleita din u'mishpat yitmochu ki chema pen yesitcha besafek v'rav kofer al yatecha hayaroch shuachal lo betzar v'chol ma'amatzei koach al tishaf alayla la'alot amim tachtam. He shamer al tafen el aven ki al ze bacharta meoni. He's talking here about the situation of Eov, Tetzayin through Yotet. The reason you're suffering is because the wrong direction that you had in light of what he said. And the suggestion is, don't turn to sin. Don't choose the continued suffering. Turn to God. Correct yourself. Hear the message. Turn the corner. Okay. Yeah.
Direction that
Eov
took?
The wrong direction is that when he was suffering and God was trying to teach him a lesson, instead of learning the lesson, he complained about it.
Oh.
And he got bitter, right?
It's not like he was suffering a little bit and then he complained and then God put on more. He was hit with 4 tragedies at the same time.
Mm-hmm. He was suffering a little bit, yeah.
The 4 tragedies in the beginning are just
going to... Okay, sometimes he suffered a lot. And by the way, it seems like he had dreams before that too, right? Mm-hmm. Pasuk Chaf Bet. Pasuk Chaf Bet, Hein El Yazgiv B'Koach. God has power. Mi Chamohu Moreh. What does that mean? Who is like him, the teacher? Who is like him, the teacher? Mi Fakad Alav Darko Mi Amar Pa'al Ta'avla. Who can tell him what to do? This should remind us of Perek Lamed Daled. Remember, no one's in charge of God. No one can tell him what to do. Zichor ki taski pa'alo asher shoru anashim. How should people relate to God's actions? What does tazgi mean? Very high. His actions are very high, meaning they're above us, they're above our understanding. We need to recognize God, the distance between us and God, which is, of course, why the Rambam fought so hard against anthropomorphization of God.
Can you spell that?
Sure. An A at the end and an N at the, A at the beginning and an N at the end. Okay. The anthropomorphization. Man sees God from a distance. And this height, this distance, is really the transition to the third part. But the first thing you notice is that part one was about recognizing God's mishpat and not being disgusted when God tries to teach us something. The second part here is micha mochu moreh, right? Appreciating that God is teaching and that God is way above us in our ability to understand it. But what's different about part two as opposed to part one, as we already saw, is that there's no application to Eov. What that does is it creates a continuity, a continuum of part three with part two. We don't break up by to applying it to Eov. There's a point and now another point and then it's applied to Eov. Parts two and three are thus linked with each other. We'll soon see why that's important. Okay, what is the topic of number three? Pasuk Chavav. Hein El Sagi is very high. Velo Neda Mispar Shana Velo Cheker. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we can't investigate. A lot like Perek Lamed Hey. Remember in Perek Lamed Dalet he said, right? In Perek Lamed Dalet he said, why would God possibly not bring Mishpat? In Perek Lamed Hey he was saying, right, man needs to understand that God is so far above and his actions don't mean that much, our actions don't mean that much. And when we start to take ourselves too seriously is when God doesn't hear us. If we want a relationship with God, we've got to understand the distance between us. And the point he's making here is, again, the problem is that man thinks he knows. And what you see here is that parts 1, 2, and 3 are parallel to the three speeches of Elihu. He had first three speeches, and now he adds one, that are really built off of the three speeches of the friends. Where bad comes from, whether there's mishpat, and the chachma of what man can't understand. So just like we saw there, that Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey were written as parallels, here too there's a parallel between part two and part three. Part two being understanding that there's a distance between God and man. And number two, understanding what that there's so much we don't understand. But to summarize, the two points of Elihu, we're not done yet, but the two points of Elihu are Yisurim come to teach and not always as a punishment. God has great strength and wisdom that we don't always understand. Of course, one, the first point, is the basis for the second point. If everything was a punishment, there'd be so many things we didn't understand, we couldn't see God as wise. But because we understand that it's often communicative, so now we can realize that there are things that aren't meant as a punishment, that have basis, because they're communicative, and we may not be understanding it, so we have to look deeper to understand it. So if he's really restating a lot of things we saw before, the question becomes, what's the Chiddush? Is it just a summary? I think it is not a summary. And when we take a look at this last unit, particularly the second part of the last unit, we're going to see what I think he's adding in this last speech.
Did we do all three parts?
Yep. Part one, we saw, was about Mishpat Tzedek. Part two was about the gap between right.
And then what was part three?
Part three is the how much man doesn't understand.
Veloni
da, velo cheker. They're very much similar, and connect, which is why he connects them, which is why they seem that way. But there's still a difference in the fact that one is talking about recognizing the greatness of God, the other is about the smallness of man, right? The relative insignificance of man. Let's focus in on the last part of part four, where in Pasuk Yud Dalet, where we're going to start to see where he turns from the familiar themes to something totally new. He says, Ha'azina zot Iov. Listen to this, Iov. Amod v'hitbonen niflod el. Stand and reflect on, ponder the wonders of God. Ha'teida besum Eloha alehem v'ofia oran ano. Will you know when God places on them, when God appears in the light of his cloud? Ha'teida al miflaseov miflafot min deim. Will you know when God appears on his clouds with the complete knowledge? Asher bigadecha chamim, when your clothing is hot, bashkit eretz midarom, when the land is quiet or heats up from the south, tarkia imol lishchakim chazakim kirim utzak, hodieni imanu marlo. Tell me, what will we tell him? Lo naruch nechoshech? How will we set ourselves against darkness of God's overwhelming presence? Man who swallowed up viata lo rau or ba'ir hu bashchakim v'ruach avravat tarem mitzafon zav yete alalo ano rahod shadai lo mitzanu sagi koach. Like he said before, mishpat v'ruv tzakalo yane l'chein yireyu anashim lo yirei kol chachmei lev. We'll get back to this pasuk in a second. What's he talking about here? What's he describing in these last 10 pesukim?
How can you relate to God?
That's true, but he's talking about something very particular. That's how it continues after the, you know, as part of the third section here.
That man might not see God's justice?
He's talking about something very particular. Look at Pasuk Tedvav. He's talking about God appearing, right?
We don't understand
God's. Ah, he's saying, what would, let's focus on the nature of God. Let's imagine what God appearing to us would be like. What would we be able to tell God when we'd be overwhelmed by his presence? Okay, it's a continuation of the last unit, because the last unit is about appreciating how much we don't understand about God.
So
imagine how much more accentuated that is when God appears in his overwhelming presence, right? And then he says, particularly in the last few psukim, starting in Pesach Aleph, V'yata lo ra'u or bahir u'bashchakim. We can't see the light of God, this sharp, clear light. And he concludes, L'chein yire'ehu lo ra'u, Pesach Aleph, yire'ehu anashim. That's why people fear him, because they realize God's presence is overwhelming and beyond us. Lo yire'eh kol chachmei lev. Who won't see, though? The people fear him, but won't see him. There's a play on words here, fear and see. Yirei Re'iyah. Who won't see him?
Arrogant people?
Chachmei Lev. The wise of heart. Right. That's another way of saying, right, arrogant people, right? Know-it-alls.
They won't see them?
Hashem is seen by, Hashem sees and is seen by those who fear him, as opposed to those who think they really know him. And I think what's being described there isn't just rain and clouds, which themselves can be intimidating, or some kind of regular light, but those that accompany the appearance of God. Or in other words, Elihu, by speaking about, by emphasizing man's limitation of understanding relative to God in general, and relative to God's overwhelming presence, is meant to prepare EO for this kind of revelation. Because this kind of revelation is only shayach for someone who understands his relationship with God. God's presence is very strong, very great, very overwhelming, and not meant to be a conversation. Hine anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu hanavi lifnei ba yom Hashem agadol. Vahanora. Why? To prepare you for something that's out of your thing. Again, if you're going into the thinking you know, you're not, it can't appear to you. And I think the most important thing we see after Paraklamat Zion is Eel's lack of response, which I think shows that he's accepting and ready. And that's where we're able to get to in the next pasuk. Vayad Hashem to Yov min ha-se'ara v'yomar. God can answer Yov from the storm. And we'll see the storm as Eliyahu described it. The clouds and the... Yes?
So it's kind of funny because like the words have been like, you just remember like... He uses the same terminology.
Mishkan, yeah. They use it in different ways.
Which I think is like really interesting because it's like this juxtaposition, like the very same people who are good enough for the Mishkan.
Chachmei Lev is an objective.
Literally good enough only for the Mishkan.
Chachmei Lev is an objective fact. People who have wisdom in their heart. Now the question is how that impacts you, right?
Yeah, so it's cool because like by the Mishkan, it's like, oh, we're so great, we can do it, whatever. But like here, it's like saying even those people aren't perfect. So
I don't think about the Mishkan is to say we're so great. The Mishkan is to understand how God empowers us to accomplish things. When that goes to our head and we think we have it all figured out, that's when we get into trouble, right? Okay, next, tomorrow, we're going to start God's answer. Who wants to hear what God has to say?
Yeah.
Don, we have to stop your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Let me stop your phone. We push a button.